Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, Father, the chance to meet here again and worship you, Father. I just thank you that you have a plan and a job for us to do. Father, thank you for the lessons you have taught me this week. And Father, thank you for the words you've given me and the message you've given me to share here today, Father. May I take it to heart and apply it in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. This week, I was thinking about what to preach on, and I just learned a lesson this week. I was at work, not this week, but last week. Something happened to me at work. I felt like I had been disrespected. I felt like I had been talked down to. And because of that, I became angry. And I said something I shouldn't have said. Tried to justify it. Came home and talked to my wife. Told her, you know, you won't believe what happened. And I did this and that. And of course, she's always on my side. But then God got a hold of me. And he was trying to get through to me. And when I hear God, lots of times I hear him through songs. Sometimes it's through the scriptures I read. But this time he just put this on my heart that what I did was wrong. You know? I didn't feel like it was wrong. You know, I felt like I was justified. You know, it seems like the older I get, I feel like people need to respect me more. You know, I've earned that respect. You know, I've lived a long time. I know a lot of things. This young man, or I shouldn't say young man, he's almost my age. This supervisor that disrespected me, I was his supervisor. I left and came back and I said, I would never talk to you like you talked to me. And I was justifying myself. And God just put this on my heart. And so I said, okay, God, I'm going to pray that you'll forgive him. God says, I'm not interested in him. The forgiveness is not for him. This forgiveness needs to be for you. But God, you heard what he said. You knew what he did to me. I tried to tell God, I'm an old man now, God. I deserve. So God says to me, so when you get old, you don't need to follow my rule? That was what he was saying to me. You don't need to obey my commandments because I've allowed you to live a long life? It made God really spoke to me in this. And it wasn't that I needed to forgive this man, although that's something I needed to do. I needed to ask God's forgiveness for what I had done. So where did God lead me? Matthew 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be in chapter 5. I'm going to read here starting in verse 21. Jesus is speaking here to you, and he says, you have heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thy fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and they rememberest that thou brother has an ought against thee, leave thee thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversaries quickly whilst they are in the way with him, lest any time the adversary delivers thee to the judge, and the judge delivers thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence. Thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Listen, Jesus is talking about anger here. He's not talking about all anger. There is anger that's not a sin. There are times that God was angry. I read in Nahum, first chapter, Nahum the prophet, he writes this: who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? We know Jesus was angry at times. We remember the time when Jesus threw the men out of the tabernacle because they were cheating the people as they were coming in there to buy the sacrifices. Jesus became angry. And also, over in Mark, the third chapter, there's a situation where it's a Sabbath day. A man is brought to Jesus who has a withered hand. I don't know exactly what that means, but it was deformed. As the man is brought to Jesus, the Pharisees are right there ready to pounce on Jesus. Because if Jesus was to heal this man, that would be considered work. And that was totally against the rules on the Sabbath to work. The scriptures says that Jesus looked around at them with anger. That's what the scriptures say. Jesus was so ticked off about these guys that they were more concerned about the rules than they were concerned about another human being. See, it burned Jesus up when people were hurt, or they took the temple and desecrated it. When people got hurt over something people did, Jesus became angry. Jesus never had that selfish anger like I have. And like you have had. Don't think I'm the only one here that's done this. We've all done this. We've all became angry. This selfish anger. This this anger that I'm talking about that Jesus had, this is not the anger that Jesus is talking about in this sermon. Paul even writes that you need to be angry, but do not sin. There are things that you and I need to be angry about. We need to be angry that young children are exploited on the internet.
Yeah.
We need to be angry that there are over 90,000 people in this city that don't have basic medical care. We should be angry over the fact that in this country there will be over 1 million abortions this year. And most of those abortions are because someone would feel like it was an inconvenience to have this precious little baby. We should be angry about those things. We should be angry about the fact that they pass out condoms in high school, but you can't say prayer at the graduation. Those are kind of things that need to make us angry. That's called righteous indignation. That's something God expects from us. It's not the kind of anger that Jesus is talking about here. The kind of anger that Jesus is condemning here is this selfish anger that we have. Paul writes in Colossians, put off all anger and wrath and malice. See, Jesus knows that by having this selfish anger, it leads to other things. You know, when we get that situation where we get hot under the collar, when someone cuts in front of us on the freeway and doesn't signal or do anything, and they just cut in. Nothing makes, I shouldn't say angry, but it does. I sit in a line because this lane ends, okay? Everybody knows this lane's end. There's cones down. I will stay in this lane going this way. Somebody's going to go around me and pass up 50 cars because their time is so much more important than my time. And that's the way I look at it. They are so much more important than I am. They can't wait in line like everybody. You know, we get angry over the silliest things sometimes. But you know what? When we get angry at those kind of things, all of a sudden you're throwing words back and forth. Somebody's making a gesture to somebody else. And now all of a sudden you're in the middle of a road rage. I got angry at a boss because of something he said to me. And because he said this to me, I said something back to him. A wall became built between the two of us. He is my supervisor. He is my authority. I built this wall there now. And the only way I could get that wall down was to go to him and tell him, I'm sorry that I said those things to you. I shouldn't have said it. Once I did that, he acts like, well, I didn't even hear you. It's okay, nothing. You know, that wall can come down, but it took me going and confessing to him what I did was wrong. But that most of the time, this anger that we have, just it can be over the simplest things, and words can be said. We can't take our words back once we say them, can we? We can say we're sorry, but those words have still been said, and that hurt has still been out there. This selfish anger can make a parent discipline their child because of their own frustration, and they're venting their frustrations and taking it out on this child. This selfish anger leads to other things. Sometimes it leads to the worst case. So Jesus is saying here that how we need to handle this anger, what we need to do about this anger. It says that Jesus says, when you have that anger that you have, it affects not only your relationship with the person beside you, it affects your relationship with God.
That's right.
It affects your relationship with God. Listen what it says here in the scripture. So when you're offering a gift at the altar, if you remember that a brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Listen, you can't relate to your Heavenly Father vertically until you've got it right horizontally with your neighbor. When we harbor this anger for somebody else, it really does affect our relationship with God.
Amen.
The scriptures say that not only are we supposed to take care of it, we are to take the initiative to do it. We are supposed to. They're not going to come to you. You've got to go to them. You have to take the initiative. And you need to settle this, and you need to do it quickly.
That's right.
Because if you don't do it quickly, that anger just builds up and builds up and builds up until where it gets to the point where that wall can't be torn down. Jesus says, come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way with him. The longer this dispute goes on and on and on, the harder it is to resolve. Paul writes to the Christians. He says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It's important that we take the initiative. It's important that we do it quickly. It's important that we honestly go to this person and resolve these problems quickly. So here's the problem. We sit here in this church today and we're all cool and calm and we're not really facing a problem right now. But here's what the problem is. Jesus, in this Sermon on the Mount, is asking us as humans to do the impossible. Jesus says, you want to forgive somebody, forgive them 70 times 7. Jesus says, you just think a lustful thought in your mind and you've committed a sin. Jesus says when somebody does something wrong to you and you get angry, you're sinning. We're told to turn the other cheek. We are commanded in the scripture to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's like Jesus has put these laws out. They're impossible to keep, and then he wants us to keep them. So how do we deal with this? Know this, that the Sermon on the Mount, the rules and regulations that Jesus put out before here is the ideal of what we as Christians should live. The problem is, we fall short of that. We are all sinners. We all fall short of that. So when we stand before God, we're all standing on the level ground here. None of us have been able to do what Jesus has put out for us here. So whether we're a murderer or a temper tantrum thrower, whether we are an adulteress or just a luster, whether we're a thief or just coveted something, we're all on the same level. We're all on the same. We all have fallen short. And the only way, once we realize that we've all fallen short, we have to understand it's only going to be by God's grace and God's mercy that we can be forgiven. We have to reach out to God's grace and God's mercy to be forgiven. It's not because what we did, because we can't do it. Any Christian who takes the Sermon on the Mount serious, when they read that, they should fall down on their knees and just cry out, "Lord, be merciful to me, I'm a sinner."
Amen.
Here's the good news. Jesus, the same one that put these laws out, put these rules out, it's the same Jesus that forgave an adulteress. The same Jesus that forgave a thief on the cross. It's the same Jesus that forgave a disciple who said he didn't even know him. Because we are imperfect, Jesus paid a price so we could be perfect. He died on the cross for us. It's because of God's grace and God's mercy that we can be forgiven. It's the only way. And the truth of the matter is, the more of God's grace and mercy that we depend on, the more of God's grace and mercy we rely on, the more we can meet the ideal that Jesus set out. On my phone, I play a game. And I play the game, and the first time I look at it and try to play it, it's impossible. I'll never be able to do all the things they tell me to do. But I keep trying, and I find a thing here I can do here to help, and I find it. And I keep trying, and I keep getting closer and closer and closer to doing that. The more I keep playing the game. The more we keep depending upon God's grace, the more we depend on God's mercy, the closer we get to being that ideal person that God created us to be. We will never be perfect till that day that Jesus comes. But we should strive for it. That should be what we're looking for. We're going to keep going and going until we can get as close as we can possibly get. Don't make excuses for yourselves like I did. Don't make excuses saying, I'm older now. And people need to understand that they need to respect me more. So I can get away with saying whatever I want to say to whoever I want to say it because I'm older now. Or we use the excuse, I'm young. I don't know any better right now. I know people who have this attitude. That's my personality. I just say how I feel. That's just who I am. You're just going to have to take it or leave it. That's who I am. Deal with it. That's an excuse that we make. Remember last week, how did Jesus encourage people? How did Jesus motivate people? He did it by seeing the best in them. Jesus says, you are the light of the world to these disciples. They didn't see it, they didn't believe it, but Jesus saw it in them. I'm telling you, Jesus sees the best in you. Other people won't see it. But we as Christians, like Priscilla was talking about in Sunday school, our responsibility is to encourage, to lift people up, to do things for people, because that's what God wants us to do. That's what they want us to do. God wants us to be His tool. God wants us to be the avenue that He goes through to see Christ today. He's not here today. We're here. But He's in us. And people need to see that. Don't make excuses like I did for your bad behavior. Don't make excuses for your sin. Admit it. Fall on your knees and ask God to forgive you for it. And He will forgive you for that. I have so much peace now over this anger thing now. Because I had it all wrong. I had it all wrong and God set me straight. He'll set you straight if you'll just listen to Him and trust Him on this. Don't make excuses. Strive to be the ideal person that Jesus outlined in the Sermon on the Mount. Amen? Let's pray. Yeah. Heavenly Father, as we come to You today, Father, we make mistakes and we are imperfect people. Father, the things You ask us to do seem impossible. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Father, I'm going to slip and fall. And Father, I'm going to need Your grace and Your mercy to forgive me and help me stand back up. And Father, May I always depend on you for this grace, this mercy, to be there for me when I ask for it. Because, Father, you never leave us or desert us. Your mercy and grace is unlimited. Father, I just pray that if there's someone here today who's struggling with some things in their life, they made excuses for what other people have done, or made excuses that they have reasons for their sin. Father, I just pray that today they will confess that as sin and ask you to forgive them and let them go on to be a better person. Father, you're always forgiving. Your grace never runs out. And Father, I thank you for that. Father, I just pray for this group of people here today. What a special group. I love them so much, Father, and I just know you love them even more. And Father, I just pray that they will love you back.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus. Amen.